we end today's programme with part one of our Christmas play, No Crib for a Bed. Written and produced by Jill Bevilacqua, the play takes us back to Christmas Eve in the year 1223, when St. Francis of Assisi set up a special crib on a hillside near the town of Greccio in central Italy.
Representations of Christ's nativity existed from early times. The Catacomb of St. Sebastian has a 4th century fresco showing a crib with ox and donkey bending over of the Holy Child. And in the Church of St. Mary Major in Rome is a famous crib set up by Pope Sixtus III in the mid-5th century. And according to tradition, part of the original manger was believed to have been brought there from Bethlehem in the year 642 under the pontificate of Theodore I. Until 1870, it was traditional for the Pope to celebrate midnight mass at this crib. Live representations of cribs in churches took place in France in the 11th, 12th and 13th centuries, but these ludi theatrales gradually lost their sacred character, becoming so crude and tasteless, with, for example, priests playing the parts of midwives, that Pope Innocent III forbade them altogether. Francis of Assisi had no time for silver and gold cribs or elaborate nativity dramas. He wanted to inspire devotion in the people by showing the reality, the conditions of poverty and discomfort of the birth of Christ. No one has ever surpassed him.
Play. It's a live crib.
Well, it's still a play. We have to act. I'm going to be Joseph.
Oh!
But you don't have to say anything.
That doesn't matter. It's still a play.
It isn't.
Now, don't argue, children. Come and have some tea.
Cookies. You just made them for us.
I trust you to smell them out. Come on, then. Help yourselves and then tell me more about the play or the crib.
They call it Crash in America.
But that's not a crib, it's a baby park. Jesus wasn't born in a baby park.
Children, please, it doesn't really matter what we call it. Crèche is just the French word.
But why do we call it a crib, Grandma? A crib's a cradle, isn't it? And baby Jesus didn't have a cradle, it was a manger. It says so in the song.
And in the Bible.
Well, yes, well, you're both right. Well, a crib is a cradle in a way because it's used for tiny babies. But the word actually comes from an old German word, krebbe, which means a basket.
Like a Moses basket.
Hmm.
But Jesus was born in a stable, wasn't he?
Well, we only have St. Luke's Gospel to go by. Do you remember what he says? And she brought forth her firstborn son.
And wrapped him in swaddling clothes.
And laid him in a manger. So it was a stable.
Hmm.
'Cause a manger's for animals to eat from, isn't it, Gran?
Yes, it is indeed.
Manger means to eat in French, and it's spelt manger.
Oh, goodness, you are knowledgeable, aren't you? Now, let's see what my dictionary says, shall we?
That's a real old book, Grandma.
Ah, here we are. I've got it. Crib, the stall or cabin of an ox.
Oh, so that's it. There was an ox in the stable where Jesus was born.
Well, we think so. And certainly there's an ox in every Christmas crib.
And a donkey.
Yes.
But who actually invented the Christmas crib? Was it Sir Francis of Assisi? My teacher says it was.
Well, in a way, there were cribs before St. Francis's time. But it was certainly St. Francis who made it so popular. And he used live animals.
Live animals? How did he do that? In the church? I don't think our parish priest would let us bring animals into the church.
Probably not. But St. Francis loved animals, so I don't think he would have minded. But then he didn't make his crib in a church.
Where did he make it then?
Well, shall I tell you the story of Francis's crib?
Oh, yes, please, Grandma.
Yes.
Well, this is how it was. You see, when Francis began to get old and sick, he decided to live away from the towns and cities and retire to the hills so he could be alone with God.
Like a hermit?
Something like that. Well, after looking round a while, he settled on the top of a high hill above a village called Greccio. But the people of Greccio weren't very happy about it. They wanted Francis to live with them. So they went to the squire, the man who lived in the castle at the top end of the village. Sir John Velita was his name. He was a good friend of Francis. And he said he'd see what he could do.
Like someone stocking up firewood. Let's go and see who it is.
Sir John, good morning to you. You're out early.
Morning, Guido. Well met. Yes, we're on our way to see Brother Francis. Yeah, if we can make it up there, that is. I'm not as young as I used to be. Well, I'd better be on my way. Here, Benno, come on. There's no game for you in these woods. Bye then, Guido.
Good day, Sir John. Ask Brother Francis to pray for us all down here.
I will indeed. Hey, look at that hawk up there, Benno. Now, there's a bird for you. Wish I had his wings instead of these gammy legs.
Sir John!
Oh,
Sir John Velita, what brings you up here on these heights? Hello, Benno.
You may well ask, Brother Francis, but who invented them is what I say. Who invented these heights? Oh, for a man of my age and size.
Indeed, my dear Sir John, but he who invented them first made you strong and spare. A valiant soldier without fear of men or mountains.
Indeed. Those were the days, Brother Francis, when I would leap into the saddle and... But I forgot. I brought you a present.
A present?
A rabbit for your dinner.
Oh. Thank you for your kind thought, but don't bring me any of God's creatures for my dinner. I'd rather see them running free. Oh. You should know that by now.
Well, very well, Brother Francis, but I didn't catch this little fellow, and it wasn't Benno either. I found him.
Yes, I know. In a snare.
But I didn't set it, brother. I promise you, I...
It's all right, Brother John. I may call you Brother John?
Of course, Master.
No, just brother will do for me, too. Now then, tell me, what's your news? How are your people down in Greccio?
Yes, down in Greccio, that's just it. We are down, and you are up. But we need you down.
It sounds like a children's game. So, go on, John.
Well, the people asked me to... You see, they want you... We want you to come down and live with us near the castle.
Within the walls,
That's it. That's it. Within the walls. With us. We want you. We need you. Do come, dear brother. We'll make you a house wherever you choose.
Thank you, Brother John. It's good of you and your people to be so thoughtful. Tell you what, let's leave it to the Lord to decide. But I'll make you a promise. I will live no further from the castle than this. Find a young boy and take a burning brand from your household fire and tell him to throw it as far as he can. And I will make my dwelling where the brand falls.
Oh, brother, yes, yes. Let's go down then and find a boy, and we will start to build your house.
I do not need a house. But come, let's go down.
Ah, yes.
Well, I
think so too. If he were living here among us, things would be different, I'm sure.
Oh, they would, but he seems to prefer being up on that hill. They say he sleeps on the cold stone. Can't be good for him.
No, but he's a holy man of God, and they don't seem to get all those ills like us common folk.
Oh, they do, but they don't talk about it. As for Francis, he's not a well man.
No,
but
right
he...
there.
Hey, what's going on over there? Look, Martha.
Oh, it's him. It's Brother Francis. And old Sir John. They're bending over something.
That's young Matt with them. What's he doing with that look?
It's a light. He's throwing it.
It's going over there.
To the other side.
The wood's on fire.
But he's only a lad. How could he throw that far?
It's a sign from heaven.
We won't have him here after all.
So that's where you have to be, Brother Francis. Up on high.
Don't be despondent, John. I'm still with you, even if I'm not among you. Listen, I have a request. It's something I've been thinking about for some time.
Anything you ask is yours, dear brother.
Well, it's rather unusual. It has to do with the Holy Feast, which is not so far off.
The Feast of Christmas?
That's it, John, Christmas. The Feast of Feasts. For me, the most beautiful of them all. The day when God became a little child and nourished himself with the milk of a woman. And so I thought, I should like to celebrate the coming feast of the birth of our Savior with you.
Oh.
Yes, with you and all the people of Gretchen.
Oh, brother, you would come down here for Christmas?
No, not exactly.
Oh.
No, don't look so gloomy, John. Listen, you have a property, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
On the other side of the hill?
I do. You need it. It's yours.
No, John, I don't need it. Or rather, I do. But only for one night.
One night? But it's only a hill.
Yes, I know, but there are caves, aren't there?
Oh, yes, there are lots of caves all over. But what would you want with them?
I'll tell you. I should like to commemorate the birth of our Savior in a special way. I should like to show that birth at Bethlehem.
Oh.
I've been there, you know, John.
Yes, Brother Francis, I know. And you went to see the Turk, too, the infidel.
Yes, but God loves the infidel, too, John.
So you say, though I...
Yes, he does. But let's leave that for the moment. What I want to do is to show the birth of our dear Lord in as realistic a way as possible. To show its poverty, all the discomfort and suffering of that birth.
But how...
I'll tell you, John, I'll tell you. You must find a suitable cave up there on your hill and prepare a manger, you know, like your animals have. Fill it with hay, fresh hay, and then there are the animals.
The animals?
Yes, the ox and the donkey.
Uh-huh.
Like those that kept the infant Jesus company and warmed him with their breath on that cold night. It was cold, you know. It's not always warm, not even in Palestine.
It will be cold here on Christmas night. And when we have prepared the manger and the animals, what then?
Well, then we shall have the parish priest celebrate the holy sacrifice, and I shall be deacon and sing the gospel.
Ah, and we shall all come up from Greccio.
Yes, John, all of you. Men, women, children, every one of you. And my friars will come from the hermitages round about, and we'll all celebrate the holy feast together. What do you say? Will you lend me your mountain for Christmas night?
Oh, indeed I will. And what a night it will be. But will the parish priest agree to come? He's very correct, you know, very obedient to the bishop.
I know, but you needn't worry. I have the permission of one who is over the parish priest.
The bishop?
The Pope.
Oh.
The Holy Father himself gave me leave when I was in Rome last.
Oh, the Holy Father himself. Oh, well, then there's no problem at all. I must begin to prepare this Christmas.
Oh, yes, indeed, John. But what about the climb?
Huh?
Will you not find it too much, a man of your age and size?
dear, you certainly have me sized up, Brother Francis. Yes, I shall find it a bit of an effort, but you will help me with your prayers,
yes.
And it will be a different sort of Christmas.
Yes. It will be a different sort of Christmas.
Yes.
You have been listening to part one of our Christmas play, No Crib for a Bed. Taking part were Arthur Baum, Ken Belton, Julia Cirillo, Sylvia Favor, John Gayford, Abbott Gilbert Jones, Thaddeus Jones, Julian Lovett, Benjamin Marino, Helen Sterling, Frank von Kugelgen, and Veronica Wells.
And you can hear the second and final part of our Christmas play, No Crib for a Bed, on our Christmas Day programme tomorrow. But before ending, I'd like to wish all our listeners a very happy Christmas.